For those of you that have been around any length of time, you know that in Jewish history, the feast of Yom Kippur, the feast, i.e. fast of Yom Kippur, was the most important of all their understanding. And something has always bothered me about the way we've done it in the past. We have fasts and all that good stuff, but we really don't have a system whereby we encourage or cause or be an God's instrument to cause the fear of God to fall on you. Therefore, we are instituting a new thing this year.
What fear?
For those of
the
let me just talk about it. As you know from what we studied about Rosh Hashanah, the walls of Jericho fell on the seventh day as they went around the thing, and the seventh day when they blew the trumpets the seven times and the walls fell, that occurred on the feast of Rosh Hashanah. Well, in Joshua, the seventh chapter, another thing occurs on Yom Kippur, and that was the stoning of Achan and all of his family. And on Yom Kippur was also the time in which the 39 stripes were held. They were put in prison, and so Paul was beaten the three times with the 39 stripes on Yom Kippur. But also what took place on that day was the stonings, and which was one of the death penalty things for... Well, if you take that as a given, but I don't know yet if we can, then we can find out that there are all kinds of incredible stuff that in the Jewish history took place in Yom Kippur. But for us, one of the things that will take place from now on the days of awe leading up to Yom Kippur, is
Joshua 7. Let's go there.
Did you have something particular you were going to talk about at the beginning?
Yes.
I mean, celebrating my birthday.
Okay, we'll just take a minute.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, you
birthday.
Yeah,
well, we can't
because
it's Danny's birthday.
Just look, you're just missing a lousy birthday for a chance to get a little more fear. I mean, what could you ask?
I think of it. I think it's my birthday.
Verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of God. I mean, children of Israel. Then it goes over, go back down to verse 23. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, the accursed thing, and brought them unto Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, every place in the scriptures where it talks about some kind of a memorial that exists unto this day, you can be assured that it's a thing that must be looked at as existing forever, and it must be seen as the type of what we're about. Every one of you and every one of the people in this body have hidden the accursed thing in the tents, in your tents. Next Wednesday night... No, wait a minute. Where's the calendar? Next Wednesday, October 4th? Okay. Okay. Next Wednesday night, we in here, the stealth group, will cause each of you to bring out of the tent the accursed things that you have hidden. And so we are again at a list heresy. But we must do it here in stealth before we do it in the Bible study groups. And so next Wednesday, again, as I said, stealth will do the accursed thing, or the search for the accursed thing within your tent. And each of you will then, from now until Wednesday, be seeing what you've hidden in the tent. And on Wednesday, you'll bring it out. Now, and then you will do the same thing in your Seder groups on the Feast of Yom, or Fast of Yom Kippur. Okay? Now, the question has come up primarily by Bananas, because I told them about it last night. Well, is this another hot seat? Well, I don't know. But I know that we've talked before about we as a people, especially we as stealth, has crossed over the Jordan, etc., etc. Well, in fact, it's we. If God is dealing with us as an individual, then all of us, then there can none of us can go other than if we're spies. We cannot go any farther than the slowest one goes. So in truth, only on, in the spirit, on Rosh Hashanah of this year, and leading up to Rosh Hashanah, did we cross the Jordan, because it's the first time we've ever celebrated. I don't know what you guys did, but if you did it like we did in Bananas, then there is a celebration of Rosh Hashanah, that Christ is now made manifest in the flesh in you. Well, the next thing that happens after the wall of Jericho is this thing that took place at Ai, and then on their way to Jerusalem. So that means that each of you, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, so you guys will have to listen to the tape, will have to, it's pretty short notice, but next Wednesday, we as stealth will do the search for the accursed thing. Now, I want each one of you to therefore do a list, because I don't know any other way to do it, that talks about the things that you have hidden in your tent, the accursed things. Now, the accursed thing is always, the accursed thing in Achan was he took the Babylonish garment, he took the silver of his own redemption, and he took the gold of his own glory and hid them in the tent, where all of those properly belonged to, they were supposed to be given to the temple. Well, in the spirit, the same thing takes place. Now, I guarantee you that if you said, well, everybody knows about that, but you're still plagued by it, then you haven't brought out the accursed thing. You've only took out one or two shekels of silver and said, here, look, and then put it back and close the door. So it's anything that you are bothered with secretly is what is the secret thing. And those are the things that you will list, that they might be brought forth so that you can get stoned, so to speak. All right?
Yeah.
So read Joshua 7. And you need to start teaching on it in your Bible studies. Joshua 7 will fundamentally be the hallmark scriptures leading up to the fast of Yom Kippur. Now, as you know, Bananas is going to the ranch. But each of your Seder groups will have to have some way of doing it. Now, just like we did with you know, where I gave you the little piece of paper that had the suggested readings and schedule and the simplified form for Rosh Hashanah, so I'll do it with Yom Kippur, of what we will concentrate on this year. Okay?
What did you say that you said something bothered you about the way we did Yom Kippur?
Yeah, we never do it. We never end up with knowing the fear of God. All we end up is being kind of miserable because you can't, you know, wash your face or something.
Never post the awe
of God. The awe of God isn't, they're called the days of awe.
It's like,
well, that's
confession.
Yeah.
Part of,
well, I feel awe something right now.
Oh, shit.
Now, for those of you that come to stealth that are not, that are in a separate, you know, this is primarily only for the Bible study teachers that will do the listing. I mean, the...
So you're not talking to me here?
No, you guys will do it at the ranch, and Paul will do it with, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? But anybody can watch. You can come and sit in and see your Bible study teacher get fried.
May I bring my camera?
It's a pleasure we've
rarely
had with
Ovi.
I've got a lot of work to do on my list.
So
Okay.
Have a nice birthday.
Okay.
You know when Ovi's birthday is?
Yeah.
October 3rd. Happy fucking birthday.
Enjoy your present. Okay. Let's read it. Joshua 7. Okay, the thesis, remember, is what I'm saying, and you know, you can argue against it if you want to, but what I'm saying is that Achan and his household and his possessions and his ass was stoned on the feast of Yom Kippur. That doesn't mean he got high. It means he got dead. And then fried.
And then buried.
Now, the thing that must be made clear is that, as we'll see here, the fact that Achan, even if no one else in his household and family knew about it, but he as an individual secretly hid the harem, or the accursed thing, under the tent, or in his tent, all of Israel was punished. In fact, some X number of men were killed when they tried to defeat Ai in battle because of the accursed thing. Now, we are on a path, on a way in which God is no longer dealing with you or I as individuals, he's dealing with us as a people. Now, there is too much isolated salvation vis-a-vis your own private thoughts. And because there's the desire for the salvation of the isolated self, there's all kinds of heresy that comes into the body because of, as long as you think that you're concerned with the salvation of the isolated self, then you feel you must protect yourself. And if you must protect yourself, then you can't be in a position where you're continually laying down your life for the brethren. Now, it's going on in here, and it's going on in every Bible study group. The purpose of this fast, of Yom Kippur, and this list of the accursed thing, is so that you can know that there's no such thing as the punishment of the isolated self, nor is there such a thing as the salvation of the isolated self. It's either you're totally in already, or you're condemned already. There is no other position. Christ didn't come to condemn the world. The world is condemned already. He didn't come to bust your ass. Your ass is busted already. And if you could ever get that through your head, then you would pay attention only to the resurrection. There would never again be a problem that you would feel that you would have to protect or work out or manage to yourself, nor would there ever again be this phony joy that comes from isolated revelation. Do You would never again be able to say with impunity that God is testing me in this area. God isn't testing you. You failed the test. You're dead meat. Or that God showed me this. No, he didn't. Or God is dealing with me in this area. No, he isn't. It's the flesh trying to be saved. Under the illusion of the Babylonish garment, which talks about the revelation, how God is doing this and this, and he's showing me this and this. Anytime the personal pronoun I is used, unless you apologize for it, you know that it's part of the Babylonian garment, and the Babylonian garment is full of jewels. Understand? You love to sit and muse about what God is doing to you or what God is showing you. Or how God is testing you in this area, or he's not testing. Forget it. God is dealing with a body. And as long as you believe you are gaining independent revelation or you are being tested in a particular area, you're only encouraging the deception that is so rampant, and you will always be caught. And I promise you, as long as you continue in that vein of thought, God has no other way of dealing with you except that your own worst fears would come upon you. You understand that? You may understand it tonight, but the first time that some little trip happens to you, then you're convinced that you're the isolated self again. I mean, I know each of you too well. I know what you do. How each one of you go through the trip in varying degrees. Oh, God has really dealt with me in this area. He's showing me this. That's all right for the Beccas and the Sarahs. But it's not all right for you. The only time you can talk about you as an individual is either positively or negatively is when you preface it by saying, I am speaking as a fool. I am speaking as an ignoramus. Now, this is what Paul was talking about in Hebrews when he said, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the groundwork. The reason I pray that you've studied it, and I pray that you've apprehended it, that the reason the walls of Jericho fell was because they were built geologically on sedimentary rock. They weren't on bedrock. They were on the deposits from when the Jordan overflowed at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction. So you got this great walled city built in the spirit on shifting sand. That's why it was fell so easily at the sound of the trumpets. Now, this is what Paul was speaking about in Galatians when he talks about that he refuses to build up again that which has been destroyed. The slightest instant that you have internally with either a private revelation or a private problem is building or rebuilding the wall of Jericho around you as the defense city. I mean, and Can you hear? And you're being deceived. Well, I don't want you deceived anymore. God, you can make it sound great. Hallelujah, I was in my prayer closet and God showed me this. No, he didn't. Babylon showed you this. Babylon loves to show you anything that causes the I motive to come in, whether it's positive or negative. It doesn't matter. I promise you that once it's spoken, it'll be accomplished. That from tonight onward, in this body, there can never, ever again be the illusion of the isolated self, including the illusion of isolated relationships. There cannot be a single instance where you have a problem with somebody. There cannot be a single instance where you have an independent self operating. It's important. This is real, real important. Do you understand? Do all of you understand? Because now, the instant God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. So up until now, from the beginning of your life up until now, you have lived, even as you've been part of this, in the illusion that God was dealing with you in certain things and certain people and certain activities and certain revelations, and all of that was going on in you. I promise you that every one of those things was simply a Babylonish garment that you got away with wearing until you crossed the Jordan and the walls of Jericho fell on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't matter whether it's family. It doesn't matter whether it's girlfriends, boyfriends. It doesn't matter whether it's individual financial concerns. It doesn't matter whether it's individual sexual concerns. It doesn't matter whether it's private fantasies. It doesn't matter whether it's issues related to your job. It doesn't matter whether it's issues related to your own feelings of inadequacy. As long as the I is the subject of the sentence in any dimension, you are deceived, and God will rush your own worst fears on you, because it's been spoken to your understanding. Those of you who are still operating with the predicate that there is a hope or a right or anything else for you as an individual to have fulfillment, to have anything, you're just, you know, a more subtle caricature of Robert Tilton theology. Ephesians says he does nothing except that he first tell his holy apostles and prophets. That's why it's very dangerous to hear this stuff. It's the worst news that you, as a human being, can hear. There is nothing worse than this. And I promise you, if you are still operating in the realm of either problems and or revelation to the isolated self, I make you a promise that this Yom Kippur, you will know the fear of God and the terror of God. Or I've not done my job. One of the things that we talked about in Bananas and Rosh Hashanah was the idea how every one of us has used the doctrine for license. And what we do is we studied, you know, the different commandments and talked about their spiritual meaning. And so we take fornication and we say, okay, fornication means that I'm going somewhere other than to God for my sustenance. And we spiritualize it and put it over here in another corner of our mind. And then there is no fear of God vis-a-vis the law because we have looked at it and literally annulled it. Or we say, you know, we do it to every one of the commandments that we know about. And so therefore, what happens is that our mouth isn't shut up, which is the purpose of the law. What happens is we speak out of the side of our mouth so that we don't have to face the place that we've hidden this spiritual meaning of the law. And therefore, we can never come to repentance because we finesse it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We finesse the front confrontation. And because every time we finesse the confrontation by our rationality, we rationalize it, then what we do is we are a time bomb waiting to explode. Because it's we never ever come to a point where there's true repentance because we never ever know the law. There's a part of the idea of time that we've never really talked about. And let me see if I can explain it. We must come to the moment by moment, second by second recognition that the segment of time that we are aware of is the total universe of time. Do you understand? It's like, if I am in a position right now in which, for whatever reason, I am out of the rest, then I have to, in order that I might know repentance, I have to say that this time is the only time. It's the total universe in a mathematical term. In other words, there is no hope for me to repent in another time. Most of us have gone through life, when Barbara and I had a discussion about this afternoon, that we go through life and what we do is we keep hiding the accursed thing, and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And so we are under this incredible pressure internally, and then we come along and we confess something and we have an idea of peace. Okay, then we think that state of being is peace, because what we've done is we've assigned all the other things under that haven't been dealt with to another time, and we think we'll repent then. Everything on the way to Jerusalem is a further narrowing of the definition of peace, so that you can never, ever, ever be in a position or find it acceptable to be in a position and that place in which you are in a state of being other than perfect peace, the totality of the absence of againstness, or even the potential for the absence of, you can't have even the potential for againstness. You know that nothing can come against you, not height, nor depth, nor demons, nor any other creature, nor holy. There's nothing that can come against you in all the universe that can take you away from the peace that you know at that moment. And if you don't know that at that moment, you have, what you've done is you've assigned it to another time and place. You've assigned repentance to a point over here. You do it automatically. And then you are satisfied with something less than peace. I mean, hear me. The kind of peace that's talked about in the scripture is so intense, so wild, so wonderful that nobody in the world knows anything about it. It's nothing that can be duplicated. Because you know that there is no potential for anything, including Satan himself or Oli, to cause you to ever leave that point of rest. Now, some of you are saying it's the same thing. But you assign, and it's because of the sins of Achan. You've hidden the accursed thing. And you've done it in a real tricky way. You've assigned it to another time. And so, therefore, the thing that you, in those minutes when you think you have some measure of peace, in truth, it's only like if 100 degrees was the totality of angst, you're at 97 and you think that's peace because you're used to 100. Where God says you're at zero. Now, the difference between zero and 97 are the things that you've hidden in the earth, in your tent. Because they are the things that you define as your problems, therefore they are the ones that give you the potential of life. God doesn't see anything. There's no difference in God's view whether it's a problem or a success.
What was that sentence? The problem so that there would give you the potential of life.
Huh?
What was that sentence you just said?
Problems that give you the potential of life.
You said they're the problems, so they're the things that give you the potential.
Run it back. I have no other idea what I said.
That's what he said.
What does that mean?
They give you the potential of believing you can have life if you can solve the problem. But you put it to another time.
So you live in the state of knowing sooner or later that debt you've moved over to next year's books has to be paid.
Right.
So even the momentary peace,
like your government,
is a state of knowing sooner or later that bill's going to come.
Right. And it's a phony thing. It's like...
It doesn't feel phony.
Huh?
It doesn't feel like it's been removed.
It's total phoniness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I get so ticked off, you know, especially at Harry.
No, especially at
Howard. You know, when I was thinking about this earlier, I was thinking of the way I write lists occasionally of things to be done, so I won't forget them. But the thing is, if I just do it, most of them are just call phone calls, you know. And if I just do it when I think about it, I wouldn't have a list. I wouldn't have anything to forget. Nobody would get mad at me for forgetting anything because I would have already done it. I mean, it's like, it's a whole loop.
What are you talking about?
I've already signed, you know, when you said that, I mean, that's right. I already signed, you know, this angst to being resolved after I leave here. And and instead of being, I mean, thinking it was possible for it to be done now. You know, and I think, you know, when you're saying somehow that, you know, it rings true with you know, things about the salvation of the isolated self and it being a Babylonian thing. Because it's somehow my idea of salvation is wrapped up in, you know, being able to think about it and not in any real ability of right now.
Yeah, I mean, That's what I mean when I say that there is no part of this doctrine into which we have been delivered that can be assigned to a different place or a different time. Now, that's mind-blowing. I mean, the implications of that are staggering when you look at it vis-a-vis your own life.
Well, the only problem bothers me is when it's here right now. I mean, the idea that, I mean, it could be staggering that, you know, to comprehend that it's, this is the only time it works, but that's at the same time that it works right now. I mean, that it's available now, as opposed to,
yeah, I mean,
some other thing.
Yeah. But the reason that repentance, true repentance, is impossible is because of a subconscious response to the stimulus of angst or no peace to assign it to another time and another place. Every time you do that, you're burying the accursed thing. You're burying another thing. You're burying another thing. You're burying another thing. Burying. Bur. I can't even say that word. You're digging a hole and putting stuff over it. Let's go back to, let's read this and see what we can come up with. Joshua 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now that's like a preamble. Now comes the story, okay? And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Joshua didn't know about this at this time. You got to keep that in mind. Which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Now, Ai is the next step on the process of entering and claiming the land. Now, the word Ai in the Hebrew means ruin, a desolate, desolation. The idea of Ai is that whatsoever you see after the flesh, i.e. the senses, has to be seen in the context that it is already a state of ruin, otherwise you will give importance to it. Now that includes all things. It includes, you can't, in other words, unless you see I in ruin, you will, tomorrow, you will be deceived by I. There will be something or someone or some activity that you have not yet seen as I. Therefore, you will be led astray away from the path by the illusion of I. It's the illusion of that which is ruined. In the same context, in Egypt, and during the Passover, we must see that Egypt is on fire. On some, have compassion, you know, but hating, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, any time that you perceive something after the senses that you do not see as ruin or as I, you can go no further in the process, no further into the land. You'll be stuck at I, and you'll be defeated daily. You understand this? Now, this is true for every one of you. Every one of you have an I that must be seen as ruin. For some of you, it's children, your children. For some of you, it's your career. For some of you, it's potential relationships. For some of you, it's the very act of this foundation, its very body itself. You must see all in ruin, or you will be defeated at I as an isolated self. And if you're defeated as an isolated self, here, that means we as a body can go no further until you are stoned. Got it? You sure? Can everybody say amen? The men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few. So they went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Now, he's saying that because 2.5 tribes stayed on the other side of the Jordan, you remember? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's another story that we'll get into later. O Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turned their backs from before their enemies, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Now, that, believe it or not, is a rebuke.
Well, I believe
it. Huh?
I said I believe it.
Okay. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. He's rebuking Joshua for not knowing about the secret thing, the accursed thing. And he, instead of taking the action that should have been manifested vis-a-vis the discerning of the Spirit, he went into some kind of false repentance and covered himself with dust.
He was whining.
Whining. But he sounded real right whining. At least he got one part of it right. He challenged God to protect his holy name. He got a little bit right.
Now this is Joshua.
I know. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And I hear this. They have taken of the accursed thing, they have stolen and dissembled. Three things.
What's dissembled mean?
Hmm?
What is dissembled?
Lied or hidden, rebelled. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Now, why were they accursed? Because they had the accursed thing? No. They were accursed because they went back to cause and effect. You understand? Therefore they were back to the original curse of the earth.
Cause and effect in that they said that we can take
Ai with... No. They were cursed because of Achan, that he had taken something to protect himself.
Okay, so just leaven infected.
Okay. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. And we talked in bananas last night. There's a lot of things you don't want to hear from God. One of them is sanctify yourself against tomorrow.
Yeah, he said because
Achan took steps to protect himself. The fact that he took that stuff and he knew he had to hide it meant that he was taking it for another time.
Well,
right?
Well,
sometime in the future he would be provided for.
Yeah, but in effect, he was saying he was believing in cause and effect.
If I have this, then I'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's some form of protection of self.
I need this.
What I'm thinking about is it was of no use to him at the time he took it. It could only be of use at the time when he could take it out of hiding, some future time.
Yeah. Except it was use to him in the usury of his mind. Yeah. You know about that.
I've heard of that.
Huh? You've only heard about it?
I've heard of that.
But now I see it face to face.
And then what?
I repent.
Yeah. Put ashes on your head.
Oh, get the up.
You forget to pour yourself.
I always forget that.
Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Now, the against tomorrow is against Yom Kippur.
Oh, the Day of Atonement, the day when the bill comes due, the day when all the stuff that's been set aside for that other time comes.
Right. Now, you do this, you have to sanctify yourself against tomorrow in every possible arena of your life. And the only sanctification against tomorrow is what? Is the resurrection.
Yeah, because everything that's going to atone for you is going to come due on the same day.
Right.
And if it's going to save you, it'll be proved.
The idea, as long as there is any accursed thing, then there's still one day left. You understand?
That's tricky.
You understand? The day of Yom Kippur is already done. It's completed. The only reason that time has continued is because the bride has retained the accursed thing, which therefore is the spot and or the wrinkle in the body of Christ.
That's the only reason why there might be tomorrow.
Right.
That sounds like
that's why it says, exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Because tomorrow it's not going to be called today any longer because there's no time. You understand that? It's the...
That's,
okay.
But then what I'm getting here is that it's also, I am equally responsible for what he has hidden as he is.
That's right. Because there's not exhortation and there's not discernment.
Yes.
We got to talk. Yeah.
Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify thyself yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come by... So shall come man by man. Now what that means is they cast lots, first for the tribe, then for the family, or then for the household, then for the man. You understand that? Okay. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken.
Right. And what specifically broke the covenant of the Lord?
What specifically broke the covenant?
What specifically the covenant of the Lord? And we spoke about this, that God would be a God to them.
But they own all things, if you want to put it in that context. Yeah. Because can you see how stupid it is to hide something if you know you own all things?
Or to steal,
if you know you own all things. That's the thing that's coming against. It's always and ever that we are a peculiar people. We are an I am people that can have no modifiers, we can have no need. Therefore, there can be no, in this metaphor, there can be no hiding of the accursed thing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means all of it thereof. Huh? And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought the household, man by man, and Achan with son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Now, the way the rabbis, because it says over here, they have taken the accursed thing as one, they have stolen as two, and they've dissembled three. And here it says, I lost it. Oh, I have sinned as one, and thus as two and three have I done. So the rabbis say there were three things, three major things that he had done. I mean, this wasn't the first offense, if you will. And I don't want to get into it. It's interesting, but it's time-consuming. I don't want to do it now. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. The Achor is simply a word that means trouble. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, we've got three things that are hidden. We've got the Babylonish garment, we've got the shekels of silver, and we've got the gold. Now, by now you should know what all those things mean. What is the Babylonish garment? Well, what does that mean to you?
It means what I think by my mind I should do in order to please God.
Right, or to please anybody. I mean, remember, all are religious. In effect, at the bottom line... The bottom line is that even though we don't think of it, anything that has as its component cause and effect is Babylon. Therefore, is religion.
Yeah.
God hates religion. Because all religion is cause and effect. Everyone in the world is religious.
He got this stuff when they defeated
Jericho.
City of Jericho.
Right.
City of Jericho represented
the walled fragrance is what the word means, but it's the private thoughts.
Are you wondering how a Babylonish garment got into Jericho?
Yeah, no. Why? You know, is there any significance?
Well, because in that metaphor, Jericho is a total universe. In other words, you can't think about God's parables and metaphors as, well, this one means this slice and this one means this. In Jericho, Jericho is the total universe.
But I mean, they defeated it. But there was something.
Yeah, but all that was in it was to be dedicated to the Lord, given to the Lord. Anything that wasn't alive, any gold, any silver, any of those kind of things, any jewels, was all to be used in the temple of the Lord instead of held as private.
So simply put, he just satisfied his lusts with those items.
Right? Yeah, but you've got to understand,
out of the walled city of private thoughts that was destroyed and opened up, all of which rightfully belongs to God, therefore all of which goes through the body to the body. This guy, of that, he went through and he went, ooh, I like that one and that one and that one. And he picked him up and took him and hit him in the stomach.
Okay, well, but what it means, though, hear me. The Babylonian garment, this again covers all possible things. The Babylonian garment is cause and effect. The shekels of silver are your own redemption, and the weight of gold is your own glory. In truth, if you think about it, it is the real revelation of the salvation of the isolated soul. Okay, now let's see something really wild. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29, I think. Yeah. Deuteronomy 29. Start in verse 10. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the hewer of thy water, drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. In other words, he's just talking about the bride. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Now, this day here is this day of Yom Kippur, sanctifying yourself against this day. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smote against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. Now remember, all of these curses, remember the blessing and the curse of Mount Ebal and Mount Cherizim, or however you pronounce it? We haven't studied that, never mind. 28 is the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience.
Yeah, we've
read it. Huh? Yeah, I know we've read it, but we haven't really studied those two mountains that they entered into. But anyway, I just lost where I was. Oh. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath, even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of his great anger? The men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. Now here's the wild one. Listen carefully. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The word accursed is the Hebrew word herem. It's what happens when you, remember, when you eat, when you have leaven, chametz in your house, you're kerem, accursed. Yeah. Well, hear this clearly. All that the accursed thing means is something that already belongs to God. The secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God, but you don't believe that they belong unto him. Yeah. You understand me? Yeah. And because you don't believe on that they belong unto him, they are hidden in the tent or in the tabernacle or in the vessel. And they therefore are of no use to us and our children, that we may do all the words of this law. God isn't condemning you for having a particular thought or a particular thing. He's condemning you for hiding it.
I'm hiding it from
the brethren. He already knows what the thoughts are. But it is of no use, because untested is worthless. And the things in you that you think are darkness are the things that bring life to others. Now, we're back to that basic thing we studied years and years ago about who is Jesus. That he, whatsoever he saw the Father do, he doeth. The words he speaks are the words of the Father. That there is no thought in him except that which is of the Father. The belief system that there is nothing within you that isn't immediately known to be of the Father and therefore prophesied is the idea of Achan hiding the accursed thing. Now, the Talmud goes into a great depth because there's examples of them hiding the accursed thing throughout. But they were not punished as a body of people for any individual hiding the accursed thing until after they crossed the Jordan. You got it?
Yeah.
Remember, we studied it time after time after time, so many times I got bored with it about who is Jesus. Remember the stuff? Things like verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Remember all of those? He didn't have a television set that he's watching God. He just believed that he was who he was. Otherwise, you will even take this vis-a-vis the accursed thing and turn it into a Babylonian garment. It'll be another jewel on the Babylonian garment. It's so simple. But God is all and in all. I mean, some of you are really, I mean, You're spiritual pack rats. Everything you do, your response to people is measured by the amount of equity you have hidden in the tent. If you got a bunch of equity, then you can afford to be brave and speak. If you got just a little bit of equity, you shut up until you have gathered, you know, until your bank is full again. But you make it sound so religious. Do you understand? We're back to the same message. Prophesy. 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 Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
Going back to Joshua, if what his name, Achan, had, you know, at some point earlier in the process, had just come clean, I mean,
he would have still been stoned. Because the stoning is the cross. It's not me that lives, but Christ who liveth in me. I have no independent life. I am dead by stoning, by crucifixion, by burning, by every possible thing. There is no separate me any longer. Therefore, whatsoever I do, it is no longer I that doeth it, but Christ who doeth it in me. I am crucified with Christ. I am stoned with Christ. I am burned with Christ. It is no more I that live. It is no more I that doeth it. It is no more I that thinketh it. It's either total or nothing. But the place that you will be deceived in the hidden things, there's a lot of roots in it. I mean, this is like the culmination of all the hot seats. I mean, it's like anything that had been hidden that still gives, anything that's ever occurred that still causes you angst is a hidden thing. It's an accursed thing that's hidden. Because what you've done, you haven't really exposed it. You've taken out one or two shekels and said, here, and then put them back. This is manifesting yourself openly before man. Now, let me just read a couple of things in the Talmud. Rabbi Johanan said, vis-a-vis the sins of Achan, that he did so five times, four times in the days of Moses and once in the days of Joshua. For it is written, I have sinned, and thus have I done. I mean, that's the secret thing about five letters and Kabbalistic things. But anyway, and they, the Israelites, why were they, the Israelites, not punished until this occasion? Rabbi Johanan answered, because God did not punish for secret transgressions until the Israelites had crossed the Jordan. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. It's to teach that God did not punish for transgressions committed in secret until the Israelites had crossed the Jordan. He did not punish them for open transgressions until they crossed the Jordan. Anyway, on and on and on. Next Wednesday night, the Bible study teachers, we will try to do this quickly. Whatsoever you must do, do it quickly. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Take a big gun.